Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, Howard Sexton. Howard, what on earth, first of all, how are you?
I'm actually marvelous. Thanks, Howard.
Well,
Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you as well. Your 2021 got off to a rocking start, didn't it?
Look, I was just feeling sympathy with everyone, so I thought, let me see what I can do.
Seriously, what happened?
Well, I was going for a walk yesterday,
mm-hmm.
got to the entrance of Melrose Arch. I did have my cell phone in my left hand,
mm-hmm.
and someone ran up behind me, grabbed my cell phone, and continued running. There was a car parked a little in front of us. And I gave chase. But given the fact that I'm not the most athletic person I've ever met.
Howard, I'm sorry.
I seem to have run towards the pavement rather than after the individual. And I landed head first, hitting the pavement with my head and my arm. And I now look like a boxer, all bandaged up.
I can't get over it. What went through the mind of you when you decided to give chase?
I would tell you, but I believe I can't swear on air.
Listen, I hear it. The rage, the frustration, the chutzpah of somebody actually taking something that is yours, that you're using, that you paid for, it is just so absurd that I guess that's what all of those things go through your mind, and you say, well, just give it back, but you don't say, damn it.
But, you know, the guy who took it, he was wearing a mask, so I couldn't quite see his face.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked in complete shock that I planned on chasing after him.
Which is actually quite offensive, really.
Yes, you know, you would think.
Did you not feel judged?
You know something? I feel like I restored some of my dignity by wanting to chase
after him. I agree with you.
Even if I went in the wrong direction.
I definitely view you as very different to what I did yesterday morning. So there we go.
Thank you. A true hero of 2021.
Either way, how are you? How's the pain? Are you feeling all right?
I actually feel fine. So I'm a little bandaged up. I've injured both of my hands. I've got some bumps on my head. But can I say, I think yesterday was actually a fantastic day because I did not understand the care that you would experience from just random strangers. People who saw it happen, who quickly came driving over to say, can we help you? Can we get you to a doctor? I had blood pouring out of everywhere, which I didn't quite realize at the time.
Mm, mm.
And I said, no, don't worry. I live not far away. I'm going to walk home. And every single car that drove past me stopped and asked if they could help.
See,
domestic workers coming out of their homes who saw me asked me, like, could they get me water? Could they get me something? Could they help? Could they help
that
me? Phone someone for me? People were just amazing. And so as traumatic as yesterday was, it was actually a wonderful day. Like, the kindness that people showed was just absolutely heartwarming. It was amazing.
Isn't that amazing about South Africans? Because we are that. That is naturally who we are and who we want to be. We will, if we see somebody in distress or in trouble, we want to reach out to them.
You know, if I saw someone in a blood-soaked T-shirt, the last thing I'd probably want to do in the time of corona is say, would you like to bring all your blood and get into my car and I'll take you to a doctor?
Yeah, I hear it. Amazing, but absolutely incredible. I'm really sorry you went through it, but it is phenomenal to hear that just about people, because it really does warm our hearts. What doesn't necessarily warm our hearts is Donald Trump, and I've spent a good part of the last week trying to figure out my own response to it, and in fact that is my op-ed for the Jewish Report this week, is dealing with that and trying to figure out what to hold on to and what to let go of. Give us your perspective.
Well, you know, I haven't been a Donald Trump fan since day one.
Really? I didn't know that, Howard.
And the truth is, I believe he has attacked the very fabric of American society. Because there was a stage where America was a shining beacon. America was the country that everyone wanted to be. It was a symbol of democracy and goodness in the world. And while it's probably deteriorated over many, many years, The truth is, he attacked the very core of the morals of that society. And he did things that were abhorrent to so many people on a moral and ethical level that you can say, oh, he did good in the Middle East and he did fantastic. He changed the paradigm in the Middle East. He did great on, for example, Operation Warp Speed on vaccines. Amazing. Mm. But the very core, the very thing that you want your president to do, to represent you as a nation, to embody the values that you stand for as a nation, he attacked every single one of those. He made sure that honesty was no longer a factor in the leadership of a country. He made sure you could lie and lie pathologically and destroy the moral fabric of that society, and that was okay. And you know something? It's not okay. It's not okay in America. Mm-hmm. It's not okay in South Africa. It's not okay anywhere. When you judge Donald Trump and when you judge his 4 years in presidency, it goes down to a value judgment of you and what you as a person hold true and valuable as a person. And therefore, you can't just focus on the one or two or three things that he did good, and there were. But it's almost like that nutcase congresswoman who stood up at the Donald Trump rally last week and said, Hitler was right about one thing. Mm. You can't take the very nature and core of the individual and try whitewash it. It just doesn't work. And we need to look at some of the things that he did. Let's go back to the very start of what he did. The lying. The banning of people of specific faiths from America, the calling of Mexicans as rapists and murderers. Like, what sort of human being was this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he went and described neo-Nazis marching as there were good people on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the results. We see the results in people wearing 6 million was not enough t-shirts at his rally. We see the results in people wearing Camp Auschwitz sweatshirts at his rally. We see insurrectionists with pitchforks storming a democratic institution. That is the result of the legacy that Donald Trump has given us.
Yeah, and it's very hard to separate that. And that's, I guess, I guess that's my dilemma, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. Because, as we've said many times, and you've acknowledged that, there were certain very good things that he did. But does that, you know, how do we look at this whole picture? And how do we reconcile it? And more than that, what does it say? And that's my op-ed with the Jewish Report, is, how do we deal in the future with the next person that comes along that is morally, I'm going to say problematic, but is very good for the Jewish nation, that is very good for Israel? How do we deal with that? Do we handle it differently, or do we fall into the same trap because there are good things? I'd love your thoughts. 345-19 or 061-895-1019. Has this changed your view of Donald Trump? I know I can see the messages already. A lot of you haven't changed your view, and that's fine. That's cool. I'm very, very happy that you don't. But has it changed some? I know that it's made me sit up and take note of myself and introspect a little bit, because although I was never a major Trump fan, I did want him to lose less badly than I wanted Biden to. So in other words, I wanted him to win, and it's disingenuous if I don't own that. I did want a Trump win. I did want a Trump victory over a Biden victory. And maybe it says more about my view of Biden, but in terms of the whole picture, but I did want him to win. And now when I look at it, I have to say it makes me very uncomfortable that this was the guy that I was hoping to win. And if he won, it would have been cool, because there wouldn't have been this problem. But there were other issues that Howard's mentioning that have been bubbling under the surface. I'd love your thoughts on it. 345-19 or 061-895-1019. Howard, how do you think we should deal with it?
Well, I think we have to look at the totality of the presidency. We have to say, you know, he withdrew from the Paris Climate Accords. He allowed Russians into the White House, into the Oval Office with electronic equipment. He revealed national secrets to the Russians when there was clear and unambiguous information that the Russians had in fact meddled in the American elections. And my personal views, not that they necessarily wanted Trump to win, they just wanted to try create as much chaos as possible because that is the Russian way. He just ignored it. When his national security advisor, Michael Flynn, was in fact a foreign agent, pled guilty to being a foreign agent, he went and pardoned the man. When the Russians hacked into the American facilities, many of the government agents in the last few weeks, he just turned a blind eye to it. Like, you can't get away from any of that. You have to look and judge something in the totality. Was this the sort of individual that represented you and your values and what you as an individual stood for?
So Unscientist says, listing, and it's interesting this, because it's very clear that not everybody is interested or prepared or able to look back. Unscientist says listing lies about Trump is not fact. Trump did none of those. This has changed my view of Chai, not of Trump. So that's a...
You see, we at this unbelievable stage that people somehow think their emotions are fact.
Well, I guess they would say the same to you. And I think that's what this person is saying.
Where has this person been on the last 4 years?
Right.
How can they deny history? How can they deny what happens every single day? They take an emotional response. They feel good. And let's face it, they feel good because Trump was good to Israel.
Well, that's where I keep going with that. If he wasn't, what would the view be? Remove Israel from that equation. Because I'll tell you how, what bothers me, with all respect to Howard, he's just repeating all the lies of the left-wing media. Almost all of it was debunked. Howard is obviously a fan of CNN. Ivy says, why was Michael Flynn proved to be innocent, etc. Clive says, DJT syndrome, unhinged, listing lies doesn't make it fact. It goes on and on. And I get this. This is not a comfortable conversation. It's not a comfortable conversation for me either. But I do think we have to have these conversations. Because if it wasn't for Israel, how would we view Donald Trump? Would we still see him as you have seen him in the past? And I'm not suggesting, by the way, because we are smart enough to be able to separate what is going on in the Democratic Party with Donald Trump. It doesn't mean, if we look at Trump critically, it doesn't mean that we become Democrats and accept everything that's going on there either. We're able to do all of these things. And I think that we need to force ourselves to do that.
You know, I think someone who believes or someone who somehow feels that all of the things that I listed were not true, were not lies invented by CNN, to be honest, has no grasp of reality. And you know, sometimes we say that in talk radio, the listeners are the entertainment. Well, in fact, some of your listeners are the entertainment because the mere fact that they are unable to grasp the very basics of truth, of reality, of history, of what has happened on a day-by-day basis, and they allow their emotions to overwhelm us and somehow think that their emotions are fact, is deeply, deeply problematic.
All right. So I just want to clarify one point. I had a meeting about 2 years ago with a very well-known person in radio, and they suggested to me that the reason that we should have call-ins is because of that exact idea, that your listeners in many radio stations are your entertainment. I actually reject that completely. I don't believe I can have an honest relationship with my listeners if I view them as entertainment. I mean, I know that that some of these messages are very, very strong, but I do want to hear them because I think it's important to uncover and to talk about that which we are thinking. Karen M has got a very interesting one. She says, "I think that the best way to work out whether one wants a leader who does a few good things and is responsible for many bad moves is what would you say if your daughter wanted to marry him." So I think that's a very human approach, isn't it? Is if your daughter wanted to marry the man, what would you say? Andrew says, how do we view anti-Semitism on the left? There are people on the left who aren't accountable for anything. Andrew, I couldn't agree with you more. And certainly I'm not a lover of the far left of the Democratic Party. I think they are very, very problematic in terms of Israel, in terms of anti-Semitism. I think there's a major, major problem brewing there. But we have to be able to, I think, separate these issues and talk about them not just resort to, but what about and what about? Let's look at that and say, look at a situation, a leader, and talk about him, not only in comparison. Clive says, what's Howard's truth? Are men and are women? No, man, Clive. No, I haven't discussed this with Howard, but I promise you he thinks it's idiocy. Am I right, Howard?
I'm not quite sure I understand that.
Oh, okay. So you might have missed that. When they opened Congress at the beginning of the year, they had a prayer. And at the end of it, he said, and let us say, are men and are women.
Okay.
Right, exactly. I mean, I thought it was a joke. Turns out it wasn't a joke. So Howard, we don't have a lot of time. How do we heal and move forward? How does America heal and move forward from this?
You know, I think the interesting thing is that we've seen over the last few days that even the Republican Party is in fact abandoning Trump. And it's politics, and in politics things play themselves out for the benefit of political parties and politicians. But there's been such a move away from Trump, of even you see in the impeachment hearings that will be happening today, that a number of Republicans will be supporting the Democrats in the impeachment of Trump. Mitch McConnell came out last night and in fact said he believes Trump committed impeachable offenses. So what is happening here? First of all, there's a moral element within the Republican Party who wants to get back to the core of what the Republican Party was and stood for, and that's fine. And those people are looking for the first opportunity to abandon Trump. And there are those people who are looking at Republican parties and the opinion polls and saying, you know, if the Republican Party needs to survive, we need to abandon and move away from this guy. And there are those elements within the party that are saying we need to rid Trump of the party because we believe it's our turn now to lead. And this is a way of doing it. And then there will be others who come from particularly right-wing states who say, this is my base. This is the way I must appease them. This is the way I must behave in order to keep the Trump supporters on my side because my political future depends on it.
Absolutely.
And this is all very, very sad for America.
Howard, we do have to wrap. Sorry, yeah, just finish.
We're looking at a deeply fractured society, and healing has to be the first priority of a nation in deep, deep peril.
Interesting indeed. Howard Saxton, thank you, as always, for a very real and thought-provoking discussion. I wish you better. I wish you well. Before you go, I just want to read you Benjamin's message. Hi, Howard. The attack on Mr. Saxton is regrettable and despicable. However, the reaction of the people who witnessed it just proves that South Africans are good people, good and decent. I'm an old guy, and I experience this goodness every time I leave my farm. And that is exactly what I wanted to hear.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.